3, 4, 5, Bruce, are you on? Okay.
About Mike Deeks?
Mike says he can't make it today.
Oh, I missed that. Sorry.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Alicia, do you know, is Lou going to try to join us, or are you sitting in for him?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard from him, but I don't think any of these numbers are him. Who do we have on the line? Dave, you're 304, right? 860-304?
Correct.
Who do we have that's 860-477?
Good morning.
Morning, Jack.
Can you hear, the state of Connecticut is having a terrible problem today. Are you aware of that?
Yep.
The entire state of Connecticut internet is messed up. So, but you can hear me?
I can hear you. Are you 860-477?
No.
No? Okay. How about 860-519?
Well, Jack shows up on my screen with his name.
Yeah, I know, but some people, they come on Zoom online, but also call in on their phone. Some people have separate lines, so that's why I was checking.
Well, I see that Bruce is here.
Okay.
I recognize the phone number. He's 8003.
The number 860-477 is Kevin Valu from DPH.
Okay.
Okay.
And we have Tom Tyler joined us. That's good. So we got another member. And Dan, are you sitting in for Lori, or are you expecting Lori? Dan's muted.
I believe I'm standing in. I'm not sure if she's joining. We're in the middle of getting all of our documents out for the reopening phase, so it's a very busy time. So yeah, I only speak for myself, and that I'm here today.
Okay. All right. And are you also going to be taking notes? Do we have note takers?
I believe you have myself and Kevin, and I believe Abby is on the line as well.
Excellent. Well, we certainly have a quorum of folks, so I'd say let's get started. Anybody want to propose any changes to our agenda? Hearing none, we'll move forward. And, we all got the notes from the April meeting. One change that was made, and just to remind everybody that Marianne is Dickinson, D-I-C-K-I-N-S-O-N. So that was corrected on the notes. Are there any other corrections that anybody else noticed? If you have something to say, please unmute yourself. I don't see any proposed changes, so we can approve the notes as they were written. Marianne, I put you at the beginning of the agenda so that if you needed to leave, you'd be welcome to do so. And again, thank you for the presentation that you did to us last meeting, and also to the Water Planning Council a week ago. I think that was very informative in terms of bringing us all up to speed in terms of what the Alliance for Water Efficiency is planning to do. At our last meeting, we discussed postponing the workshop, hopefully until we could meet in person, which, as you mentioned, would probably be not until next spring. But we did express the desire to have you go ahead and work on other issues in the meantime rather than waiting. And I know a concern was raised that with the various, call them administrative tasks that you're doing, interacting with all of us and all our various groups, We just want to make sure that you are reserving enough funding for a robust conference, robust workshop when we do have it. But I would like to hear from you some of the plans that you have for what's going to be happening in the nearer term.
Okay. So in the nearer term, we actually do need to start planning the rates workshop. One of the decisions I wanted to make sure we made today was whether indeed we would wait until spring and do an in-person workshop versus a virtual two-session workshop in the fall. And I just wanted to, since it's a very different way of planning and would involve, putting together different strategies, I wanted to make sure we were all on the same page about waiting until spring. So that was the first thing I was hoping to clarify today. But then even if we're waiting until spring, I think there's work that we have to do, setup work that we have to do to get ready for that. And we are proposing to get all of that work underway. So for example, workshop, if it's in person, is going to be an interactive workshop, and we need to have representative speakers that can help with the discussion with stakeholders. So in one particular workshop, we did a panel of local officials on the issue of getting to yes on rate increases. So what I would need is some sense of who you might recommend for our soliciting local officials, 4 to 5 of them for that particular panel. We also need to identify utility case studies, one in particular that we would model with our sales forecasting and rates model. So we would need to find a willing utility who would give us their data so that we could do that modeling. And that's work that would have to be undertaken while we're waiting anyway. And then setting dates and finding locations, those are all issues that we can start working on getting all those nailed down. Ideally, it would be nice if we could get a location that is large enough to accommodate between 75 and 100 people seated theater style with a podium and ability for, AV built into the room. It'd be wonderful if we could have a free room somewhere and not have to pay for it out of the budget. Those are all things that I wanted to get underway and start with you on. So I didn't know if you wanted to designate somebody in particular for me to work with on the work group, whether that would be Dave or anybody else who would want to form a little committee to work with me on those details. I'd like to get started on that. I think the rates issue is, and revenue loss issue is one that you seem to be very, very interested in. I don't want to I want to have a lot of that planning underway so that we know where we're headed with that. And then my proposal is at your next meeting next month that Bill Christensen and I would do finish our analysis of the state laws recommendations, and we would do a presentation for you at the next meeting. So that's kind of the plan that we have for the moment. And so just to go back to this decision point of, should we do maybe 2 virtual sessions, 3-hour virtual sessions this fall, or should we do the in-person workshop in the spring? Just want to make sure, since I heard different views on it, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page on which direction to go in.
Marianne, Dave Radke here. I'm glad we have Jack on the line, because my memory is that last time we discussed this, there was pretty good unanimity that, let's really wait. There's much more value to be had if we do this in person rather than virtually. And I want to say I recall Jack affirming that, but I'd love to hear his thoughts on it.
I would agree with that. I mean, I've worked with Dr. Beecher for many, many years, and while she might be is good doing things virtually, I think it's when you have any type of rate setting form, we have rate school twice a year through National Association. I think it's important that people be there to interact face to face. I think it's just really important. I don't think people would get as much out of it virtually.
Okay.
And the cookies are always a big draw.
There'll be more than cookies.
Yes.
So if, as we're thinking about all the logistical stuff you mentioned, Marianne, and thanks for your thoughts, anybody have a crystal ball they want to gaze into and sort of give a sort of a time frame when we think we might do this? Because as we look to find a location, you know, which is one of the critical first steps and lock that down, we'll need a ballpark date or series of dates, right?
Yeah, we need to stay away from things that are already scheduled. And I see Steve Rupar is on the call here, too. And Steve can tell us when the Connecticut section might be planning events. We need to make sure we're not conflicting with anything that might already be on a calendar and sort of position it in a good spot. I was thinking perhaps March, that March would be a time when the weather would have muted a little bit, but not so late in the spring that we're running into a lot of other events. But what do you all think of that?
I think March would make a lot of sense.
I agree. It's Jack. I would agree.
A couple of questions.
People ready to come out of hibernation by then? Hopefully.
Let's hope.
Just keep in mind, doesn't the Sustainability Committee usually do a late March workshop?
Late May. It's usually May.
It's usually in May.
Okay, sorry.
And the May workshop this year, which we were involved in also, we thought maybe it would be postponed to September. Now I don't even know if that's going to go forward. Dave hasn't called a meeting recently, so that's still up in the air. But even if it's canceled, it still would probably be in May, again in Portland.
I have a couple of questions, Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
One of the meetings, I don't know if it was the Water Planning Council meeting or it was our meeting, John Hudak mentioned that he thought it would be a good idea to have several different flavors of utilities looked at, not just have a regional or a private or a municipal or whatnot. And so when you mentioned having the utility case studies, were you planning to do more than one in different flavors?
So what I was proposing was we would have a panel of utilities that would be all of the different types that John was mentioning, public, private, regional, municipal, and they would talk about the issues that they're facing in their revenue and rate proceedings. But we would do one utility as a model for the rate model. So there would be a presentation where we would show water utility data put into the rate model and how those rate structure scenarios work. We would actually demonstrate that. In some cases, we were having trouble in other workshops that we did. We had trouble finding a utility that wanted to cough up their their data to be showcased so broadly. So what we would do then, if we don't find a utility that wants to donate their data for the rate model, is we construct a Connecticut example that's very similar to what some of those municipal experiences would be. And then we would, give it a fake Connecticut name. But we really ideally would like to have a utility who would be willing to work with us and give us their existing rates information and cost information that we could put in the model. But the what John was suggesting in terms of having a number of utilities represented, we thought having a discussion panel of that would be a really good idea, because they could also focus on what some of the issues are that they're facing, and the local officials who were invited to be on the local official panel would also get to hear that. So there's cross-pollination between the two panels.
Now, would that local officials panel be representing a municipal water supplier mindset, or would they be representing a customer concern mindset?
Well, elected officials tend to represent the customer more than they represent the utility. That's my experience with elected officials, also having been one in the past. They have to respond to the consumer, because the consumer is the one who gets them elected. So what we're hearing from that, and if you decide to do this local officials panel, it's, again, this is up to you. This is your workshop. But if we do go forward with that, the purpose of that panel is to get insights from the local officials on what they need to make sure a rate structure is approved. What are the customer messages that they need to see? What are what's the staff information they need to see? What are the political issues and how do they work through it? And ideally, it would be good to have at least one of those local officials having negotiated a successful rate increase that they can tell that story and others can chime in on it. That panel is about 45 minutes. It's not really very long, but it's a good opportunity for people in the audience to ask questions of those people who actually make the decisions going forward. So we would be looking at, you know, the city council members or water district, elected water district board members, those who are actually in the position to say yes or no to rate structure changes.
Mary Ann, this is Steve Rupar. Kind of similar to John's comment, just offer comment that elected officials, I think, in Connecticut also come of different yeah. flavors. So you have those that are part of a regional district. You have those that may have a sizable water utility as part of their municipality. And then you have those that are just served by a private water company. And in some cases, that might even be an adversarial relationship. So I think it would be beneficial to try to capture the different flavors of
yeah.
Municipal representation as well.
Which is why I'll need all of your help and making sure we recruit the right people. So we really want to work together, and I think the first step is figuring out how we start having those conversations so that we begin to pull those people in sooner rather than later. Because we want to make sure that when we finally have the workshop in March that we're well prepared, everybody's been prepped and research has been done and we're all ready to go. And so there's usually a good 3 to 4 months worth of work that precedes these workshops. And while it seems like we have plenty of time, I would feel a whole lot better making sure we have it going so that we make sure we reserve a lot of that funding for this task and make sure we don't run out of money before that task is completed.
I'm going to show my ignorance here. Are rates determined at the local level?
They're determined on the system level. So, yes, a private water company goes to PURA. So Jack's one of those decision makers for private water companies. But on the public side, it's all decided by whatever local governance structure that water utility has, whether it's municipal, whether it's a regional district like Regional Water Authority or DC.
Marianne raises a very good point here, and I think it's something we as a Water Planning Council have to be very sensitive to, because over the years there's been a lot of dialogue at the state legislature why MDC rates historically, I mean not now, but in the past, have been much lower than private investor-owned water companies. So I think that's something we have to have in the back of our minds as we proceed forward with this. I remember years ago, Windsor, there was in South Windsor, I believe half of it was Connecticut Water and the other half was MDC on the same street, and people were having a fit and legislators were saying, well, why is this the way it is? So I think we have to have a really good explanation as we go through this rate setting workshop as to how these rates are set by us at PURA and by public. MDC, usually it's a governing board or water commission within a respective town that sets them. Mm-hmm. But I think that we really have to take a look at that.
Thanks for bringing up those bad memories, Jack.
Well, do you remember that? that was pretty
yeah.
great. I got yelled at by legislators, man. They were not happy.
Is there, Marianne, is there, to Jack's point, would there be benefit to having him on a part of that panel so he could at least talk about how private rates are set?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a role, of course, at the very beginning to set the stage. We would like the opening welcome talks to be by folks who are like Jack and Virginia and Dave and making sure that we have the group represented in setting the stage. But Jack would be a great person to be on the panel as well. I'm not sensing, though, that the audience is going to have a lot of citizens, right? We're mostly going to be water utilities. Stakeholders are all welcome, of course, but I think most of the invitations, which is the other thing we have to do is come up with the invitation list, most of the people we want to reach here are the water utilities, right? Because we want to help them think differently about how they adjust their revenue in the event of shortfalls. I've asked Jan Beecher to talk not only about the revenue adjustment mechanism, but loss of revenue due to COVID. So she'll be covering that topic as well, which I think will pull in a lot of utility folks who will be interested in advice on that.
Yeah, good thought. Dave Radke again. Could you, Marianne, give us an example, a brief, just bullets of the types of data needs you would need to do your case study? So as we start to reach out and look for willing victims, that we can give them exactly what you're looking for?
Sure. I can give you a list of the inputs for the rate model. I can forward that to you. Yeah. It's basically the details of how their current rate structure is set up and what their costs are that have to be recovered, so that as the rate model does different scenarios and shows the probability of being able to reach their revenue requirement, all that data about what their revenue requirement really is, that has to be the model input. And there also has to be precipitation data, because one of the issues of variability is how much it rains. That affects, peak consumption quite a bit from outdoor irrigation. So I can get you all a list of what those inputs are for the rate model.
Okay. And you can also. Sorry, Virginia.
I was saying, would part of the modeling be applicable to groundwater systems?
Well, utilities that draw groundwater, the model is agnostic as to where the source of water comes from.
Okay.
So I think that's fine.
Okay.
And Mary Ann, you're looking for a public or regional utility, I'm guessing. That's what we wanted to focus on, was
right.
How they could potentially.
Right, a municipal or a regional one, if it is also a retailer. It has to be a retail water utility. It can't just be a utility that sells bulk water, which you don't have much of in Connecticut anyway. But
And the funding would only allow one utility to be modeled? If we were fortunate enough to have a large and a small utility that wanted to do this, is that a possibility?
It is a possibility. We could do that. But these are all things that I'd like to plan out now in advance, so that we do a good job here for you. So if you are able to get us a large and a small utility, that's awesome. We'll do that.
Hi, this is Denise. I just wanted to get us back to that question that kind of we just went around a little bit, and that is that the workshop, we know that the main problem we have in Connecticut right now is with the public utilities. Because we've taken care of the private utilities to a point, and I'm not saying that we don't need to do work on rates across the board, but obviously our main problem, particularly when we're talking about water conservation, is this issue with the public utilities. So I'm wondering if we do need to really focus that, and that gets to, again, to be on the invitation list, as well as when we set things up, and maybe, set the stage by talking about how the different rates are set, but really then dive into the public. And I'm just putting that out there. I think we do need to clarify that, because it seems like it's a really big issue if we try to tackle both. So I'm just putting that out there, and I'm not opposed to doing both, but I want to see if folks think we really just need to focus on this public, because I think that is one of the mandates of the state water plan, was really to look at the rates for public. So I'm just putting that out there for discussion.
In terms of the venue, is it a good idea or is it not a good idea if we were to have one of the water utilities host the gathering?
I think it would be fine as long as the facility is big enough and central enough. I mean, it probably doesn't make any sense to do a meeting in Stamford, but to do something central, I mean, I think even New Haven might work if Regional Water would be willing to host, but I was thinking something more central. I don't know if Pura would have a meeting room we could meet in.
This is Jack. Let me, I don't know if people are familiar, but some of you are, I know. In downtown New Britain, Central Connecticut State University has a beautiful facility that we've conducted. Jan Beecher, the last time she was here, she had her workshop in that facility. So we could have it there. There's plenty of parking next door. So we could probably make arrangements to have it there. I think last time we had it, we had a lunch catered, and I don't think it costs a whole heck of a lot to do it either. So.
Okay. Well, that's a reasonably central location.
It's easy to get to. It's right off the highway. So. And Goodwin College is also an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good thoughts. So Jack, is that something that one of the agencies can follow up on?
Yeah, you give us a date, and then Gail and I can follow up. Yeah. If we zero in on a date, then we can start working on it.
So
okay.
In terms,
well, one of the things that we can do is we can reach out to Betsy Guerra and Ramon Longo from CWA and Connecticut Section respectively and try and see what dates might also be floating out there so that we can stay away from them.
Okay.
That would be very good. Yeah.
That's great.
Dave, can you follow up with that?
Yep, I will do.
Okay. Marianne also asked for a volunteer to work with her on planning this.
Hi, Virginia.
Yes.
It's Tom Tar. I'm not sure if you can hear me. I've tried
yep.
to
I can hear you.
Pitch in here. So the district, MDC, has that training center. We're centrally located in the state. There's a big parking lot right next to it. Access is easy. And there's no cost for people to use it. So, you know, that's a nice little.
That's a great venue as well. That's an excellent venue. I've been.
So before. I would just need to know, you know, well in advance when you think, because obviously right now not a lot of people are using it, but when, you know, there's free access, it gets booked up pretty far in advance. So, you know, I just want to throw it out there. It's an option. I'm not sure what size venue you need. You know, it is limited probably to, you know, sit down seating, maybe 150 in that range.
That's fine. That's about the size.
So it's an option if you want it. You just have to let me know and I can, you know, work with you to make it available if we think that works.
And I forgot about that. And that's a very easy place. It's off right off of 91. Very easy place to get to as well.
Yeah, so. That's great, Tom. Thanks for
Thank
that.
Thank you.
And Marianne, I don't know if the design of your day has any smaller group sessions, but that room does have dividers that can split it into smaller rooms if we were to be breaking up.
Yeah, no, we pretty much keep everybody together. The room needs to be about 100 or so, 150 is perfect. And I assume as a training center, it's got the AV set up with a big screen and, you know, a computer projector that's all of that.
Yeah, we have all the AV stuff. You had mentioned about possibly serving lunch. There's a kitchen there.
Yeah.
You know, oven, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty well suited for events of that size.
Great. That sounds wonderful. So what we would need to do is figure out what dates then, you know,
yep.
Tuesday, Wednesdays in March. When are meetings, board meetings and all during the day? Are those typically on a day that we should avoid for water utilities?
No, our board meetings are held at our headquarters building. That's in downtown Hartford. This is, you know, maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles away from downtown Hartford. So it doesn't conflict with any board meetings or anything like that.
I just mean in terms of days, you know, the dates that we choose. I wouldn't want them to be board meeting dates for any water utilities. But typically those are earlier in the week, right? They're Mondays, Tuesdays? What?
Ours are Mondays.
Monday, okay. Okay, so if we pick a Wednesday, that those days should be probably free of conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it sounds like our first choice would be the MDC training facility if that were to be available. So in terms of the first thing we have to establish is potential dates. And so, Dave, if you reach out to folks to find out if there are any conflicts with the state groups, then we can start narrowing that down and hopefully be enough in advance to secure the MDC facility. If not, we can consider Central or Goodwin as our next choices. So,
okay.
Great.
Great.
Anything else, Marianne?
So the invitation list, you know, again, this is not a rush to do this, but we should start thinking about the people we want to invite and the people we'd like to recruit and begin to sort of talk this up that it would be good for them to come. So I'll need to also work with somebody who can help me put together a good list. And, you know, we'll handle all the invitations, of course, but we just need to make sure we're inviting the right people and everybody that needs to be there, including stakeholders that you think would be valuable additions to the audience. So I need somebody to help me put that list together.
Would it make sense to either as a participant or as a presenter or a panel member of some sort to include somebody from the CDM Smith team who did the state water plan?
It depends on if you want to have that be a background presentation as part of the agenda. Were you thinking that we should have like a little overview of how this fits into the state water plan?
I hadn't really thought through. It just occurred to me that they have a lot of knowledge that their knowledge tentacles sort of go in more directions than either any single one of us does.
But do you think they'd be willing to be on the planning team then?
Don't know.
That would be actually a very good idea to, because I think having people who understand the depth of the problem we're trying to solve, as many people as we can get to help advise us on putting this together, I want to make sure we're responsive to what the needs are that were identified in the state water plan. So that would be great.
It's Jack. I'm sure Kurt would help us out, and people from the CDM team. I think they would, because it's all about follow the money. Everything we do is all about money. So this is a huge, huge issue here. So we got to get it right. So the more the better.
So let's I don't know if we have to do it now, but sooner rather than later, let's pull together a core team that can start, you know, devoting some planning time to this. People who are willing to step up and do that.
Alicia, I see Lisa.
Great.
Anybody other
okay.
than Alicia?
Yeah, I'd be, this is Steve Rupar. I'd be willing to help out as well.
Great, Steve. Great. Thank you. And I assume, Dave, you'll be part of it as well?
I assume.
Great. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
And then, as I mentioned, at the next meeting, which I assume will be back on the regular schedule of days, we'll do a presentation on our recommendations on state laws. So we'll be prepared to do that. And Bill Christensen, our Director of Programs at the Alliance for Water Efficiency, will join me. He's the project manager of our state scorecard project. So I want to make sure he's there to answer questions as well.
Excellent.
So Marianne, Dave here. You're talking about a presentation for the Water Planning Council.
No, a presentation to you first.
Oh, okay. So that would be the, all right, whatever our next normal day would be.
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever your next normal meeting day is, we would do a presentation on some recommendations. Because our goal is to work with you first before we elevate anything to the Water Planning Council level.
And that's
right. This is Jack again, excuse me. I just want to make that clear that we told the Water Planning Council last week the implementation group will be the body working with Marianne to come back, basically to report back. But a lot of the, like, you're not going to come back and ask us about where to have it or, you know, the dates or anything like that. This is all delegated to the implementation group, and that was the consensus last week.
Thank you, Jack.
Right. We're going to tell you where it is, when it is, what time to show up, and what to wear, Jack.
Exactly. Yes, I like that. That sounds good.
Excellent. Thank you, Marianne. Any other questions for Marianne or questions on this particular topic?
Hi, this is Iris.
Okay.
I'm just asking, I'm representing the public. Would you need a representative from the public?
Certainly we want you to come, absolutely. And it might be a very interesting idea to have a representative of the public in the panel with the local officials. And that's something we can discuss. One of the first things we'll do is we'll float out a draft agenda to you all with some names and suggestions, and you'll help us design, you know, the workshop program to be what you'd like to see. So, you know, that'll be, you know, every meeting that you have every month, we'll be giving you a further update on where we are. But one of the first things we'll do is do the agenda. So that's the place where we can make those decisions. And I think that'd be a great idea, especially if you're a member of the public that has been in a community where you've been particularly torn apart by the rates issue. That would be very interesting.
I think also we can't forget the Consumer Council. I mean, Dave Silverstone is the former Consumer Counsel for the state of Connecticut. You know David, right?
I do.
And he's, now,
like me, he's still out there, huh?
Well, he's the Consumer Counsel for the MDC now, and represented private investor-owned water companies, Consumer Counsel for the state of Connecticut, and now Consumer Counsel for MDC. Ran
he used
the
to be
Regional Water
Authority. Regional, too, yeah.
He's a guy we should really...
Yeah, no, Dave would be great. It would be great, yeah.
If he's not in Florida, but we'll get him.
Yeah, March, yeah. We'll have to drag him back.
Okay, great. Again, thank you so much. Any other questions before we move on? All right. Steve, can you give us... Oh, no. Excuse me, I forgot one. We're putting together the slate of members of this group for the year starting last month. As you may recall, because we wanted staggered terms, the first group was originally appointed for a one-year term, which has expired. Each of the current participants has agreed to continue. So that means we've got Bruce and Corinne representing the state agencies, Denise Savaggio representing the in-stream interests, Steve Rupar as a subject matter expert, and myself as the Water Planning Council Advisory Group representative. And then, as you recall, we had a vacancy in the out-of-stream category because Brian Hurlbut was appointed Commissioner of Agriculture. Several names have been floated as possible people to fill that vacancy. One of them was Mike Emmons, who we all know from the Water Planning Council Advisory Group. I reached out to him and asked him if he had thoughts of other folks. His concern is that in terms of, you know, he's already got a commitment, he might be interested, but is not sure he could make the time. He was going to think about that. Also, we've had the suggestion of Terry Jones of Jones Tree Farm. He was the former chair of the Working Lands Alliance. Dave Kuzminski mentioned Mary Dickerson from Portland, who's their economic development person for the town, and also serves on their farm advisory group. I spoke to her, and even though she said she was very interested, if we really wanted somebody focusing more on the agricultural interests, she suggested a woman named Janice Ellmeyer, who's on the Regional Agricultural Council of the River Cog. And then also another name that's been floated is Bonnie Burr, who is the former legislative liaison for the Department of Agriculture. We had thought that having somebody, even though the slot is just out of stream uses, we thought having somebody with a agricultural interest would be very helpful in our discussions. So any thoughts about none of those people, Mary Dickerson and Mike, I've spoken to in terms of their interest or availability. I have not spoken to any of the others. So thoughts.
So, Virginia, David.
Yes.
You and I were kicking this around yesterday for quite a while, and I did reach out to Betsy Guerra to see if, because I know Bonnie Burr had moved on. I was hoping to get a name, hopefully, through Bonnie. But one of the things that Betsy was also going to do was to get a contact and reached out to the Connecticut Greenhouse Growers Association. I'm not sure if that's Mike Emmons' organization or not, but I hope to get at least a name from her so that we potentially have someone else we can put in the mix. Mm-hmm. Have we gotten any affirmatives from anybody we've spoken to yet?
In terms of interest?
About as willingness, yes.
Yeah. Well, Mary Dickerson said that she would be interested. She's been following the state water planning process from afar. And yet she said that if we really wanted agriculture, this other woman might be a better choice. So she would be interested in serving if we decided that having a town, a municipal interest in agriculture was the type of input that we would benefit from. Well, then we need to decide how we're going to take the next steps here.
Yeah, so quickly, if you really want someone with agricultural interest, I think it would be best to go with, someone from either one of the associations. We mentioned the nurserymen's and the greenhouse growers, or also, Terry Jones' name came up, and he's with the Working Lands Alliance. They now have an executive director, so we could contact her, Chelsea, and I'm drawing a blank on her last name right now. But we could contact them if one of the other ones. Bonnie Burr knows a lot, but right now she's working with Cooperative Extension. So I think that kind of puts her into the government category. And so I don't think it would, even though she definitely knows the industry inside and out, I don't think it would be the best representative for the outdoor interest. As a state person, she should really be kind of neutral, looking at both, I would think, not just in stream or out of stream. So I would kind of want to go with more an industry person. I think following up with Terry Jones and or the Working Lands Alliance, like I said, he's kind of was the director there, or the chairman of the board there for a while. He's still active on that board. And but they also have an executive director that may, so it may work for us if we reach out to that organization.
This is Jack. I think Terry Jones, if Terry Jones himself could do it, would be excellent. I mean, Terry Jones is really, he's got quite an operation in Shelton. He's been very involved in other associations, and I think he'd really be good. But I think I like Denise's suggestion. At least contact the executive director for recommendations, and hopefully we'll have more success than contacting the Commissioner of Agriculture. I guess he's very busy.
Denise, you've raised your hand?
I did before. Sorry, I didn't know that.
Denise, would you be willing to follow up with both those ideas, Terry as an individual and also the organization?
Yeah, I can do that. I know Terry and I know Chelsea, so I can follow up with that organization.
Okay, I appreciate that. Other thoughts on any of the other names that were mentioned? I was trying to follow up on Janice Earlmeyer yesterday and today. I have not quite tracked down more information about her, but I can continue to work on that. And Dave, you're going to be following Dave Radka. You're going to be following up with Betsy. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Just make a note of that. Excellent. So what we're going to do, what I propose that we do, is that we, because these terms started last month, that we submit the slate to the Water Planning Council, probably still indicating a vacancy, so that they can vote on it at their next meeting. And if we have gotten somebody for that vacancy, we can certainly alert them to that. But just to keep the process moving, is that, are folks in agreement with that approach? Anybody in disagreement?
Do you need a motion?
Please.
I make a motion to advance the slate as discussed today with the vacancy to the Water Planning Council.
I'll second.
Is there a second? Thank you, Corinne. All those in favor, you'd have to unmute yourself. But if you, the people I can see can raise their hand.
Hi.
Maybe under the circumstances, we should just say, is there anybody opposed? If so, please make sure that we get the message somehow. I'm not hearing.
I call it passing unanimously.
What'd you say?
I say it just passed unanimously.
Okay, yes, it just passed unanimously. Thank you. And so, Jack, you and your fellow counselors can expect an email from me shortly.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you all. And so then moving on, Steve, can you give us an update on your topical subgroup? My guess is that they haven't met since we last met, but please bring us up to date.
No, that's right. And so this update's going to be very short. The virus kind of threw us for a loop. We do have our next meeting scheduled. We're going to try the use Microsoft Teams as the vehicle and meet virtually, and that's this Thursday. But other than that, no progress since our last meeting.
Okay, thank you for that. Any questions for Steve? All right, now Mike Dietz was not able to make it today because of a conflict. He indicated to me that Corinne could give a brief update, and then we're going to have a bit of discussion. So Corinne, you need to unmute yourself. Good.
Things are continuing to move along with DCP. We've been talking to them about the database that they've created, and Mike and Gary Robbins have been meeting with DPH to work to get some interns to help with the historic data. So that's moving forward on that end. So, in general, the work group has kind of done what it needed to do by accident, because DCP was putting together this database unbeknownst to us. But
have you had a chance to look at that? You had a chance to look at that database and run it through its testing?
We're working on that. The database is essentially just a replica or the entry form is essentially a replica of the well completion report form with lat long added, and there are some constraints that need to be put on, just like a drop down list for the towns, a specification for how accurate the lat long needs to be, those sorts of things. So we're offering those types of comments to DCP, and they're grateful for them. So they're hoping to bring the entry form to the Plumbing and Piping Board at their June meeting. And so we'll continue to work with them to make sure that that there are some constraints on the entry form that will give us some decent data. I don't know, did you have any other questions on that?
On the database specifically? What is the guess, and I certainly understand it would be a guess, in terms of the two interns that DPH has hired, how far through the historical data do you guess that they're going to be able to get? And also, what are they going to start recent and work backwards? Are they going to start at the beginning and work forwards? I'm not asking for answers to this, but these are some of the questions that you're probably discussing with them.
Right. I'm not quite sure. I haven't been part of those discussions, so I'm not sure where they are with that at the moment.
Okay. Good. So I'm glad to see that this issue is moving along. Any questions about what we've talked about so far with the original phase of this work, which was putting together the electronic database, or the need for the electronic database?
Virginia, David here. Corinne, I know some of the emails you and Mike and I've seen, you know, we've talked about the white paper, and earlier its original focus was on building the case for the importance of the database and getting the resources necessary for it. Obviously, that changed, and then we thought, let's sort of retool it to with a focus more than on here's what it needs relative to this older data. Can we make the case for that and what the expected effort would be, costs, et cetera? That seems to be kind of moving along. And last thing I saw was, well, do we even need a white paper? Do we just sort of consider that sort of, I don't call it wasted effort, but sort of over and done with, right? We don't need that. I would argue that the white paper probably still has some value, if only to memorialize the work that the state, that we all have done as far as implementing some of this. And I would encourage you all to just, you know, sort of put the finishing touches on it. And if nothing else, it's there as a reminder. If we don't get everything we need through these two interns, we'll still have this document that still continues to stress the importance of continuing to put effort into the database.
I'll bring that back there. I'm quite sure the two interns, you know, working for a summer will not make a whole lot of progress, as there are thousands and thousands of these. But there are some other funding avenues that we're looking at from a state perspective that that are in play. So I'll bring that back to the group and see what they want to do with it. We might want to just table it for the moment until we can sort a few other things out and then come back to it. And certainly we have, you know, the draft white paper, so it's not, you know, so if we want to go back to that and simply revise it to, you know, a brief report on what happened, we can always do that.
One of the things, are the interns going to be asked to try and retrofit a lat long on the existing data entries?
I'm not sure. I think that would be very beneficial and something that it would be well worth it. But as I said, I haven't been part of those discussions.
The other, just as a reminder, you may recall that a couple of meetings ago, Brenda Watson said that she had gotten free GIS input work through some certification board requirement. And that's just something to keep in mind, because somebody with GIS skills would be perfect for doing that piece of the data entry.
Right.
So taking that, you may recall from all the original discussions, starting with the state water plan, the concerns about domestic wells were broader than just the location and the information related to them. And one of the things that DPH in particular had a large concern about was the water quality in domestic wells. And so it may at this point be appropriate for this group or some extension of this group to morph into some of the other issues related to private domestic wells. And the hesitation, what I said there is, it's very likely that there may be a need for some new folks or different folks on the group in order to do that. What I'm asking this group is, should we leave it up to the existing group to plan their own morphing? Or should we, in essence, be starting a new domestic well group that would have a different focus? I mentioned the water quality, but there may be several other things that should be addressed through our topical subgroups.
Right, Virginia. I did look back at the state water plan, and you know, the well locations and the well logs were kind of one piece, and then another piece was certainly the water quality data from testing of the wells, and then the potential for requirements for regular testing of private wells. And I think those two things, you know, a database of water quality testing we would want to have it connected to the well log information and database, but that's not something that DCP would, have any connection to. And I don't think they would be willing to do any, you know, QA or undertake maintenance of a database focused on the water quality. So I think it would have to be something separate. And I think those two pieces, the water quality aspect and the testing of private wells, is sort of it's a pretty big shift from the original focus of this work group. So I think the player, we would have to add a few players like a testing laboratory, perhaps the real estate lobby who has fought having regular testing of the wells in the past. And I think some of the people that are on this group would not necessarily be interested in continuing. We wouldn't need a well driller to address those things, for example. And I would, you know, we want more of a health focus for that work group. So I would suggest that it really needs to be a different work group. I think the current members of this work group, some of them may be very willing to continue. But I think it would be something we'd want to check with those people and then look at sort of shifting the focus and getting some new members.
Would this particular group be willing to help design their replacement group?
Potentially. I guess I don't want to speak for Mike.
And the thoughts that you've had are very good, and I think that perhaps other people in the group, starting with Mike, but certainly other people in the group might have similar thoughts and be able to flesh out a proposal to us of this is the kind of folks that you would need, and perhaps even knowing some of the individuals that you would need. Not that they would have the final say. Obviously, there might be some more input from any player, but I mean, you do, for instance, have Department of Health represented on that group, and so they might be able to speak to it. Some of the things that I think we would need to be considering in the new group is what would be tested, because right now, even when the testing requirements that often are imposed by mortgage lenders are pretty much the normal suite of things, rather than any discussion of potentially nasty things that immediately get much more expensive. So that gets into a whole other realm of ideas. The other thing that came up in some of the discussions when we were working on the state water plan was the privacy issues. And that if your well is contaminated, it's going to affect your ability to sell your house. Now, I can stand back from a public health point of view and say, well, that should be something that the new owner is aware of and what they would have to do to make the corrections. But this is where an individual or a real estate agent might say, no, we're going to keep that private. So that's a concern that has to happen in terms of how these two sets of data integrate. And another thought along those lines, when we have one fairly standalone database at this point, and as you just mentioned, Corinne, in some ways, if we get into water quality, they have to be tied. If you may recall, one of the topics that was discussed, one of the priorities that was discussed in the state water plan was having a single portal for data, an entry point that would then link to others. And starting now, when we really have one of the first widely distributed databases coming into its own, is there needs to be a unique identifier that would link an item in the location database to an item in the water quality database to an item in the, I don't know, name it, some other database. And what it might be appropriate at this point when the DCP database is still in development to discuss what that common identifier might be so that then it would be used from others. USGS always used lat long. But we all know that lat long is missing from a lot of the existing records. And also, if somebody's just going to put it, well, let's assume it's at the house and picking it off a map to get it into the old data, as you said, there's going to be a drop down with the accuracy of the lat long. But you know, that might not be the best thing. But I would encourage, starting perhaps with your group as it exists now and the DCP folks, to come up with something that will be the unique identifier to tie all these databases together.
Those are good considerations, Virginia. And I'll definitely bring that in.
Great, thank you.
So David, thanks Virginia and Corinne. This is also, I think, an opportunity for us to do a better job, if you will, at a little bit of outreach before, as we were setting up our working groups. You know, we had been pretty insular and just sort of kicking names around ourselves and trying to be as comprehensive as we could be. But, you know, there were also questions that I was getting as to, well, you know, as these groups are formed, how do I find out about them? How do I get on it? Or if I know if I'm interested, or at least want to know when they meet and that kind of thing. Now that we have the website up and functional, I think we have to probably make an effort, if we're sort of retooling this private well working group, to do a little bit more outreach and say, here's what this new group is going to be focusing on. If you're interested, let us know. Or minimum, we'll get you on the mailing list, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we have an opportunity to start to do a better job with the public outreach.
I think that's a good point, Dave. Thank you for that. And Mike is willing to continue to lead this group as it morphs into a new direction. And so if we were to put together some kind of a blurb, he would be the primary contact for that. So
I wanted to make sure, you know, obviously water quality is huge with wells. You know, once you have a contaminated well, it doesn't easily get cleaned up. And we have those challenges in the state. But the quantity issue is something that we need to be aware of, particularly as we're seeing across the state people converting over to using more and more irrigation water and tapping into wells, and sometimes asking for two or three wells on their property just to do irrigation, and how that impacts neighbors. So, for example, they get into that private property issue. Can you stop me from, as a municipality, from pumping my well to irrigate my lawn when it's drawing down my neighbor's well and now he can't flush his toilet? So those are issues we're looking at. USGS has done some studies in southwestern Connecticut, and I had actually contacted with John Mullaney prior to leaving Greenwich, and we were discussing the need for possibly having USGS broaden that study. So I'm just putting out there that there's definitely work that needs to be done on the quantity end, and how that ties in now with the work that's being done in terms of preparedness and resiliency. If all of a sudden you have a whole lot of folks during a drought whose wells don't work, that's not a good thing. So a lot of the drought work has been focused on water utilities, but I think one of the reasons wells really came up in the water plan was this whole issue of what we do with wells when we end up having a drought. And there was a big problem up in Maine several years ago, probably more than several years ago now, with a major drought, and you know, everybody was on wells, and it was very difficult to deal with. So I'm just putting it out there that there's a quality issue, but there's also a quantity issue with wells that certainly probably needs to be addressed.
Thank you for that, Denise. And as many of you have heard me say before, it definitely is a problem. And that work USGS did in Greenwich, there was one individual property that was using, on average, 25,000 gallons per day.
Well, that's what it identified, that one, but the study was townwide, and we were actually looking to see if we could do that study region-wide in southwestern Connecticut, because there's many communities, Greenwich, Stamford, there's a host of communities that everyone, you know, you would think they're large communities, and so they're all on a local water supply, but that's actually not the case. And that's, you know, true across the region. You know, a lot of times we have, you know, folks who are served on wells. And the interesting thing is a lot of times they're located in our public water supply watershed. So, for example, the folks in Greenwich and Stamford who are on private wells are also located within the public drinking water supply watersheds. It's the people on the lower end of the watersheds, not within the public drinking water supply, but below that, that are actually serviced by those watersheds. You would have that similar context with all the folks in Easton and Weston are on wells, but those watershed, that public drinking water supply watershed serves Bridgeport. So there's a dynamic between that as well.
So I can very well see, Corinne, that your existing group could take some of these concerns and some of these thoughts and help us craft what it will morph into, even recognizing that the personnel on those groups will change in the process.
And the other thing I want to remind is when you're talking about wells, it's the public health department. That could be a municipal or it could be a regional public health district that usually approves when someone's going to be drilling wells and looks at some of that information. So that may be a group that we want to involve.
That's a very good point. Thank you for that, Denise. So one of the thoughts that Dave and I had, and we were talking about yesterday, is that if we continue to only work with two topical subgroups, and each one takes about a year's worth of work to do, we're going to all be doing this into the year 2035. And so we want to start talking about establishing a new topical subgroup. You may recall that the two we intentionally chose as fairly narrow focused as a real proof of concept of whether this topical subgroup and the implementation work group interacting with both the Planning Council and the Planning Council Advisory Group, whether the whole process is going to work. My sense is that it seems to be working reasonably well, and I'm certainly open to suggestions of how the process may need to change. But because these were our test cases, we felt that it might be beneficial to start talking about what new topics we might want to consider. And Dave, you want to take it from here?
Make sure I'm unmuted. Okay. Thanks, Virginia. Yeah, one of the things that Virginia and I were kicking around yesterday is if we were to propose this to the group, and it seems like we've got more than enough. We've had really good participation, and obviously these two groups are going to continue on for a while. And there's so many other things we thought, you know, given the issues at hand, which include things like climate change and drought and conservation and all of this, one of the things that sort of fits nicely in and is part of the state water plan is this question about regionalization, interconnections, where do we have them, where do we need them? It ties in with a lot of the WOC work. And we could probably stand to pull together a group that would start to look at how do we make the best use of interconnected regionalization of supplies to address supply shortages, to help ease environmental issues in stress basins. I mean, the topic is pretty big, but as I said, it really fits very well into a lot of the very current issues that, we're dealing with or will be dealing with. So that was what Virginia and I came up with. We wanted to propose it to the group that we go to the Water Planning Council and say we're ready to take on more.
So I brought up the survey that we had done of the items that from the state water plan that Corinne had put together, what was it, 2 years ago? Gosh, time just flies. We had done a survey of the implementable items, if implementable is a word, and the interconnection regionalization was actually almost next on the list as far as what needs to get checked off. So I think that would be a good next step, especially considering it was high up there on prioritization for implementation.
Great. Thanks, Alicia. We were trying to go back and sort of do the same thing and find old spreadsheets and things that had prioritized, and we're not wholly successful with doing that. Thanks for the confirmation.
I'll put in that on my list of things to give to Eric Lindquist to put on the new website.
Alicia, was that the list just from the advisory group, or were you looking at the list from the agencies as well?
They pretty much lined up pretty well. I looked at both of them. Where it stood on, let's see, where was regionalization with the agencies?
Well, we don't need to spend time.
Yeah, it was.
But just that you were looking at both was my question. That's great. So thank you for that.
But we only had 4 people with the agency voting, and we had, you know, almost 10 with the advisory group. So more things floated to the top with the advisory group.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So other thoughts in terms of whether this would be a good topic? We would probably want to flesh it out a little bit more before presenting it to the Water Planning Council, exactly what aspect we would be looking at, perhaps the, if not the individuals, the types of individuals that might be represented. But is there general agreement that it would be a good topic to pursue?
Good afternoon. This is Dan Aubin from DPH. I just wanted to add a little piece in, because I remember many months ago, long time ago, I even think last like summer, we were discussing that a third, you know, potentially subtopic work group could be created out of some item that was a necessity. So if we're deciding that this new group is a necessity, then that would follow what we discussed then. Also around that time, though, we discussed an issue that still is kind of relevant, that how do we market, remarket, or advertise the state water plan? Previously today, we were discussing, you know, in March of 2021, it sounds like, you know, the outreach groups that Marianne Dixon was talking about. And I still think we have a mission to be really revising the plan, but really kind of remarketing and branding that state water plan out there to get a bigger audience of involvement, potentially to find funding as we still start to look to the future of having a water czar or someone who oversees it. It makes me think of the other discussion we were having earlier about, you know, has a subtopic work group completed their mission and documenting that and moving on to future projects, because there's a lot to do under the state water plan. So I agree with what everyone's saying. So I'm not really adding anything different. I think I'm just trying to reiterate to be mindful that there might be other groups that are just as necessary. Not to say that the one that you guys are suggesting is not, I think it is. And it fits perfectly with other formats that we've done. I just kind of wanted to be mindful of the marketing of the state water plan, because to me, that's a bigger and more systemic thing that still needs to happen.
Dan, thank you for that. I think that's a very good point. And the timing is very pertinent, because I know every other time that this has come up, it's sort of fizzled when people have said, well, the website's not up yet. And assuming that that's going to be one of the primary communication tools to the public, now that we do have a website that's functioning, it would be appropriate to do that. I wouldn't, if we had the support of this group, I would not be opposed to having two new groups. They would be very different. And as we've discussed, the marketing one, for lack of a better word, would really need to have some professionals who know how to communicate with the public and not be policy wonks or scientists, you know, spouting unintelligible stuff to the public. So I think it's a valid comment, and it's something that we might be able to handle both.
I think one of the reasons, and sorry to keep going on, but one of the things that I think about now, because we're in, you know, unfortunately, this new era of COVID-19, and a lot of work, and I mean, I'm not talking about State Waterfront, but a lot of work that we do at the department has come to a screeching halt because of the, obviously, the pandemic that's going on. But a lot of minds out there, and I know that's a general term, but it's hard to sell innovation right now, I guess is the way I want to put it. You know, working on different grant projects and trying to get, you know, certain people involved with these things where the general population goes, well, that's not a necessity. That's not immediate to me. And I think marketing and communications right now is a strategic and uphill battle. And, you know, I think about the state water plan often because a lot of work went into it. A lot of very smart people, you know, have been involved in this project and still are. And I think it's a mission and duty to really be thinking about how that moves forward. How does that transcend and is communicated to get more involvement, especially in this new era that we're in?
I'd like to add to that, and the things might seem sort of unrelated, but I know we've talked a lot about tracking implementation in the past. And how I see marketing the state water plan and tracking implementation going hand in hand is that, you know, it's not just the state agencies and the people in this room, Zoom room, that are doing the work to implement the state water plan. There are a lot of groups, whether they be water utilities, watershed groups, conservation groups, that are also taking little pieces of this. And if we had a way for them to be able to, for us to acknowledge the work that they're doing and for that to feed into a sort of an acknowledgement of the implementation that's being done by different groups, it may get people a little bit more engaged in the state water planning process. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make sense, and I agree. I've had thoughts about it before where, I mean, I know we're getting off topic into the marketing and branding aspect of it, but there's been thoughts in my mind before about having tools or terminology available for those who are involved. You know, so if somebody or a group is working on something, they can say, this is a state water plan initiative. You know, it gives them the power to work on what they're doing, but also reiterate back to the main thing that we're all trying to achieve. So I think your point is definitely well taken, and it's something to be mindful of, and tracking for anything is obviously very important. That's still going to be important as we go forward. It's going to be important for tracking, you know, successes and shortcomings, you know, things that we could have done better, things that we did well, and the rest of the items that need to be achieved.
And also recognizing and being able to find the things that have been done well and replicated as well.
Excellent points.
Yeah, I think Dan brought up a really good point, and I do think that this particular group is something that, if you looked at a group that was going to do outreach and education, basically, you know, then you can get into the marketing and all that other stuff you talk about. But basically, that is what it is. And I think, and it just depends on what your target audience is what you're trying to accomplish. But there are two groups that I think that we could bring in that could really help us with this, and that are our partners. And one is the DEEP's Education and Outreach Division. They know how to do this stuff, and they often don't get called in because everybody's working on their own little thing, and they don't get called in. And they're in the process of finishing up an environmental literacy plan. How do we do environmental literacy with the general public? How do we get people to know what we want them to know? And I would think that they would be able to help us with this. And the other piece of that is Sustainable Connecticut, who's doing an awful lot of outreach. And there was a lot of emphasis when that group started on energy, but they certainly understand that water is a huge thing, and the nexus between water and energy is huge anyway. But they have really morphed into a bigger group, and working with them to get an emphasis on water and the state water plan, I would think would be a natural thing we could do. And I'm just going to give you an example from the Long Island Sound. There's a huge group that works just on Long Island Sound, and one of the things they do annually is have a Long Island Sound Summit where they bring in all of the researchers. Who's doing research across the board or a program across the board on Long Island Sound? And we could certainly set up some type of a annual workshop or convention where who's doing work on water in the state and bring them all in. As Alicia said, there's a whole lot of people doing water work. And are we bringing everybody together? And that may be something we would want to do. And it certainly would, you know, complement the work we want to do on the plan. I do work a lot of work with several of those folks, so I'd be more than happy to touch base with some. But I think Dan is bringing up a really important thing that we need to be out there letting people know the state water plan exists, and basically just some basic water education as we're in the process of doing that.
Thank you, Denise. So now we've had two different ideas proposed for a new work group. What are people's thoughts? Number one, number two, both? Dave?
Am I the only Dave? Maybe I am. I think we could probably handle both at this point. We just want to, you know, stay true to the format that we've set up, which, as you pointed out, seems to be working. We'll need to have members of the implementation work group step up to chair both of these, and then we can kick around ideas for the makeup, but then do the outreach I suggested earlier and make sure we get as broad and as representation and make it so we get the best possible outcome.
What I'd like to see us do at this point is if a very small subgroup of the folks that we have on in the room today would agree to get together before our next meeting and just throw some ideas around so that we can come up with a preliminary framework, a idea of what each of these groups might look like in terms of what the subjects are that they would want to be addressing, what the type of individuals are who would need to be involved, what kind of time they thought that they might need, and then bring that back to the group a month from now. Dan and be willing to start that process for this one, and perhaps Dave, if anybody else, I'm not excluding anybody who might want to be involved.
Yeah, I'm certainly happy but to be involved, but do we not want to target the next Water Planning Council meeting for when we could do something for them, as far as a pitch?
Well, that's a thought. I just don't think in the time we have today that we're going to have this much fleshed out. But if that those subgroups wanted to get together in the next week or week and a half and come up with a structure that we could discuss with the Water Planning Council at the beginning of June, I think that would be fabulous. And it probably is just a phone call, you know, of throwing ideas around so that it's not quite as vague when we present it to the Water Planning Council.
Do you want me to utilize what I've been using for work group proposals for the Water Planning Advisory Group as a template? I can send that around after the meeting to
sure,
everyone.
That would be great. Please do.
Okay. I'll just make it generic, and maybe if we just we're filling in the blanks, having that sort of draft proposal for the next implementation work group meeting will help us. You know, seeing and writing is helpful, and it'll help us flesh it out so we have something to give to the Water Planning Council.
That would be great. So who would like to form a subgroup to toss ideas around about this marketing piece in the next week or so?
I'm happy to help with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Alicia, Dan, and Denise? You want to join them, Iris?
Well, I just volunteered to be on the drought subcommittee, but also I just want to make one comment regarding water quality, and I'm concerned about pollution prevention. If where does pesticides and herbicides fit in, when they are potential harmful to wells and in water in general. So, but I could join. I'm available.
Okay, well that would be great because okay. we are talking about marketing to the public and you're representing public, so that would be great.
Okay.
And can I have a? I'm just in the interest of time here. A handful of people want to form a group offline to talk about coming up with a structure of perhaps the regionalization interconnection piece.
I certainly will, Virginia, David.
Okay. Anybody else want to help with that? You're a group of one at the moment.
Sorry, I was on mute. Oh,
you want to be part of it?
I'm interested in that as well.
Okay.
I will be also, Virginia, and also I agree with both doing both subgroups at once, and I'd also like to take part in the call for just doing the marketing because I'd like to talk with Jack. I know that was important to him, as far as I totally agree with Deep's team. Pura also has an outreach group, as well as the energy arm that sits in Pura's building, who is totally involved with the water energy nexus. So, you know, I'd like to toss that out so that, you know, get Jack's input as well. And I'm sure he'd be very interested in getting our involved as well.
Okay, thank you, Gail. What I'll do is after this meeting is I will just send an email to the people that I've heard speak up here so that you can have everybody's emails, you know, to hand. And then you all can plan how to have a conference call or something just to throw some ideas around. And then,
I'm going to withdraw my name from marketing and just keep it on the interconnections. Sorry.
Okay.
Doing a little reality check there.
Virginia? Hey, Virginia.
Yep.
I don't know if people may or may not who are on this in the meeting may having trouble getting in microphones or whatever. So let's just leave it. If anybody who's listening has an interest in either of these topics, to shoot you or me or both of us an email so we make sure you're included.
Okay, certainly. That's a good idea. Okay, any other thoughts? I had expected that we officially have another 15 minutes, but we do want a little bit of a break before the advisory group meeting at 1:30. Are there any other pressing issues that people want to bring up before we adjourn?
Hey, Virginia, it's Jack. I just want to thank everybody for their work on this implementation group. I mean, you covered a lot of ground today. This is the second meeting that I participated in. And I can't thank people enough. I think we're going in the right direction, and a lot of good topics came out of today's meeting. And moving forward, we've still got a lot of work to do, but I can't thank people enough for the work they've done for the implementation group.
Well, thank you for that, Jack, and I certainly second all the energy and the expertise and the interest that people are applying to this topic, and I thank you all for that. Any, Iris or Peter Gallant, you seem to be the public folks that I'm aware of here on my screen. Anybody else have any thoughts before we adjourn the meeting?
I could just make one more comment supporting what Denise said about the overdrawing of the overpumping that could be done by individuals. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the regulations, but since we're coastal, being like many cause possible salination of the water. So I don't know the rule. I don't know the regulations around that. That just to emphasize the danger of individuals pumping without being regulated.
Certainly. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And to my earlier point about making sure everyone who wants to participate can, Peter Dount sent me an email saying he is interested. So we'll make sure we get Gail, me, Alicia, Peter, and anybody else again, let me know and when we start to pull some ideas together. Thank you, Pete.
Excellent.
Thanks, Dave. Wasn't sure if it was appropriate for non-work group members to raise their hand.
No, you know, the topical subgroups are certainly open to anybody, and the design of them should get input wherever we can find it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, thank you very much. I look forward to hearing back from those new design groups that we put together, and I'll probably see many of you in a half an hour. So thanks very much. Bye.
Have a good one.
Thank you, everyone.